Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now for a rare Wisconsin Sports Daily appearance, he is Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. The last time you and I talked was on the Mason Crosby Show, because you never get to talk to Mason. So it was fun. Andy, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy Victory Friday. That was certainly a fun one yesterday. And I disagree. Zero controversy on the touchdown catch. That was as clear as day. Touchdown catch, Dontayvion Wicks.
I will say this about Matt LaFleur. I know people have their issues. I scream and yell during his press conferences and pause it all the time about when he says stuff. But you want to talk about pouring gasoline on a fire when you do the wink to the media members when asking about the timeout, whether or not that got called before Belton's false start. That did not help things at all for the National Football League with Matt LaFleur doing that. And I was on there going, hey, man, he was clearly yelling at the guy, timeout, whatever. Clearly that was wrong. Clearly they completely botched that one to the Packers' benefit.
Yeah, they absolutely botched that one. And I think that one's a fair one to say. And then I think too, they obviously botched that pass interference penalty on Christian Watson at the end of the game too. I thought it was clearly, like I said, a touchdown to Dontayvion Wicks. I didn't think there was any controversy there, but the false start timeout absolutely biffed the obvious pass interference where we saw the angle of the ref looking right at it. Obviously botched. I thought the Keyshawn Nixon illegal contact was fairly weak as well, but you know, that's the life in the NFL. It's not always going to be perfect, and you got to find a way around it. And yesterday, certainly Green Bay did.
I was all about benching Jordan Morgan and starting Anthony Belton. I was all about not rotating those two cats in there on the offensive line. It appeared that Belton did get that chance. And then you see the Pro Football Focus grades come out, and they contribute him with 6 pressures allowed in that football game. So with what he provides in the run game, does that outweigh the struggles in the pass game in your mind, Andy Herman?
Yeah, I want to obviously go through and watch this on L22 still to see how he did, especially from a run blocking standpoint. The way that I had him as my lowest graded player, Anthony Belton, that is last week as well. I still like what he brings to the table, and I still think he is a little bit more of a work in progress. The way that I would kind of define it, but you know, just again, watching it last week and then just seeing a little bit of it this week, between Belton and Morgan is they're both inexperienced, raw, and need time to develop. Neither of them are fantastic in pass pro. They both have a lot of work to do there. And Belton is the better run blocker.
Yep.
So I don't think you're losing much in the other areas going to Jordan Morgan. I don't think there's a huge advantage to doing that. I would rather work through the hiccups of Belton right now and get a little bit more upside on the interior, a little bit more physicality on the interior, and a place where probably Belton's going to play for some time in his career. I just think it makes more sense to stick with him. But for anybody that just thinks, oh, Belton's at right guard, problem solved, we can, you know, wash our hands of that problem, it's still a problem. In fact, in the very last play, the fourth down to Dontayvion Wicks, Belton gets, you know, completely bull rushed by Aleem McNeil and is really the one that forces Jordan Love to have to throw a fadeaway sort of jump ball to Dontayvion Wicks on that play. It works out, but it's a rough rep from Anthony Belton on that particular play.
What about the center position? Sean Ryan now in place of Elgton Jenkins the last couple of weeks. I feel like we may have gotten better there at the center position, and I didn't think I would say that prior to Elgton Jenkins getting hurt. And obviously Elgton Jenkins wasn't as good as everybody thought he was going to be going into the season, but I feel like Sean Ryan's doing a good job.
Yeah, I think he's doing fine. I think the other thing, too, is I don't think Elgton was particularly playing that well at center, if I'm being honest. Right. So I don't think they've actually lost a lot at that spot. I think Sean Ryan is going to have a couple more issues here and there just with some of the checks and calls at the line. And just we saw, especially against Minnesota, there were far too many free rushers that just got allowed, whether due to a breakdown in communication or somebody going their own way. But from a pure physicality standpoint and some of the stuff that he's also bringing in the run game, I actually think there are potentially even some advantages there as well. So I think it's, again, still kind of a work in progress. But for his second game, really starting at center, I thought this one showed some real promise and signs.
Talk with Andy Herman, Pack a Day Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I learned something yesterday that I did not know. I'm guessing he's been doing it all season, and I wasn't aware, potentially. And I saw it for the first time yesterday. And that is this, like, Luigi's Pizza halftime on X broadcast. Have you been doing that all year at halftime? Has that been your thing all year?
I think that's my third one that I've done, third or fourth. We started it maybe about a quarter of the way through the season for road games, specifically, because at home games, I'm obviously at the game, which makes it tough. But for road games, halftime, we have been doing it the last three or four times, and we'll remain doing it the rest of this year.
So I'm watching it, and I saw it come up, and I was like, I don't know, the 20th or 30th person in, whatever. And obviously, it's Andy Herman, so it grew to like 600, 700, 800 people watching this thing. But it was amazing because if you remember, Valentine misses that tackle that allows the touchdown, and people want Valentine cut, people want Valentine benched. I'm going, y'all need to chill, man. First of all, it's one of the better tackling defenses in the National Football League. Missed tackles are gonna happen. Did he technically do the right thing by throwing a shoulder and not wrapping up? Absolutely not. It was a horrible form and all of that, but your best cover corner you have on this team, I don't care if he misses three tackles in a game, nobody's benching or cutting Carrington Valentine, and Packer fans' emotions were high at halftime, Andy Herman.
That's always the thing that I struggle with the most, is that just the immediate reaction is if something goes bad, we have to immediately cut, fire, trade, you know, whatever, bench somebody.
I saw you advocating for Matt LaFleur's extension after the game yesterday.
Oh, hey. So that's the fun part. So that's me going in the opposite direction. Oh, if we get to fire Matt after every bad loss, do we get to extend him after every big win? Yep. And then everyone's like, it's just one game. Oh, interesting. when it's on that side, it's just one game when we have to kind of take a step back and more evaluate it through the season. But after a loss, then it's immediately fire. I talked to this about Aaron Nagler today too, of like, it's always funny to me. When we get the initial schedule for Green Bay, everyone does their like mock-up of like which games they're going to win and which ones they're going to lose. And everyone's like, you know what? I think this is like a 12-5 team, like somewhere in that 12-5 range feels good. And I just wish like people knew, like, in order to get to 12-5, you have to lose five games. Are you okay with them losing those five? I don't want to hear then any complaints until they get to that sixth loss. You expected them to be 12-5, and they're kind of on that pace right now. We'll see what the rest of the season brings, but I don't even know what your initial question was. But yeah, the Carrington Valentine. Yes, we don't need to bench or cut Carrington Valentine. And the other thing too is like, listen, Carrington Valentine's been their number one pure cover corner on this team. There's no question about it. I wish that every Green Bay corner that they had was awesome in pure coverage skills, both man and zone, and was an amazing tackler. There's like three of those players in the entire league. There's like Patrick Surtain and maybe a couple others. Yeah, if you can get them, great. They're making, you know, 40 plus million per year, and there's only three of them on God's green earth. So he's not going to be perfect. Neither is Keyshawn in coverage. You have to pick and choose your battles, figure out what they can do well, and hopefully mitigate some of those issues. Yes, I'd like to see Carrington Valentine wrap up on that play. He didn't, but let's have...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some common sense afterwards.
Andy Herman, I don't think you're as old as me, but you're older. And you have the youngins talking about Micah Parsons and just how damn good he is. And the question is, is he as good as Reggie White used to be back in the day? Is he getting to that dominant level? Like yesterday on the postgame show, Tommy Wirtz and myself here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, Tommy was like, man, what's a single season sack record for the Pack or something? I don't know. So I look it up. It's like 19 and a half.
Tim Harris.
Right. He goes, who is Tim Harris? So I tell him about the six shooters and all of that from the 1989 season. I love Tim Harris. Got his autograph on one of my shirts. But yeah, so all about that. But I'll let you answer it. Like, Micah Parsons is unbelievable. The other argument that I saw happening yesterday on Twitter was because Andrew Filippone, who is a talk show host in Pittsburgh, said, hey, man, maybe Micah Parsons is better than TJ. Maybe we need to admit that as Steelers fans lost their minds on Filippone by making that reference. How would you compare a Reggie White to a Micah Parsons?
Yeah, first of all, I do think Micah Parsons is better than TJ Watt, and I think it's close. I think TJ has had a phenomenal career. Micah will have to extend the, you know, continue to do what he's doing for a while more to get to the level that TJ's been at for so long, so consistently. But and I think maybe sacks is TJ might be a little bit ahead in, you know, spots in their career, so it's close. But Micah is more versatile. TJ's been basically that left defensive end. You don't move him around. And, you know, they're both fantastic. I think this is the point. But as far as Reggie goes, it's really interesting. I honestly think that Micah is very close. However, what I will say is I get to watch Micah every play on the All-22 and evaluate it very closely. I was 12 years old watching Reggie White and trying to evaluate that. So I don't think it's a fair apples to apples comparison. I would love if I had access to All-22 to go back and watch Reggie White and see the difference. Again, I think you're also talking about a longevity thing here. I also think Micah is, you know, complete prime of his career right now in Green Bay. You know, Reggie was what, like 30 when he got to Green Bay, yeah. Which is, you know, still unbelievable player. Don't get me wrong, but I think there's a little bit of a difference there too. Again, either way, we're talking about people in similar stratospheres. If you want to put Reggie ahead, understandable, no question about it. If you want to say Micah's in that category, I'm not certainly going to argue with you, but we're talking about upper stratosphere, elite, elite talented players that are constantly making an impact. And it's just a joy to watch Micah Parsons down in and down out.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast, joins us here at Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you, joins us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. Andy Herman, the last time Devontae Wyatt was out, we had problems stopping the run in Green Bay. Did the Packers? Now he has a fractured ankle based on the reports that we're seeing and is probably done for the season as well. Any concern? How much concern going into this thing? Because now the younger guys are probably going to have to play more of a role here.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. What you always want to avoid are the season enders, right? You're now without Elton Jenkins, Tucker Kraft, and likely Devontae Wyatt for the remainder of the season. Those are three very significant injuries, especially Kraft and especially Wyatt on this team. And as far as defensive tackle goes, the one thing that leaves me somewhat with a positive taste is I do think Warren Brinson is starting to step up. He's playing good football. And, you know, Brooks and Wooden have really played a ton of snaps already for them. But I do think the depth gets very much compromised. The one other thing that I think is somewhat of a positive that could help, but we don't know where he's at right now, is LVN. If they can get LVN to come back and play some of those, you know, interior downs on obvious passing downs, that can help mitigate this loss as well. The other thing I'll just say is yesterday against Detroit, they looked like a fantastic football team that was capable of beating just about anyone. That's a tough road game. And, you know, I think, again, performed very well. They lose Devontae Wyatt after this. But as soon as this next game against Chicago, they could get back LVN, Carl Brooks, Quay Walker, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Nate Hobbs, and maybe at some point, eventually, maybe even a Brenton Cox or a Marshawn Lloyd. While I think Wyatt is a huge loss, if you ask me right now, hey, would you trade Devontae Wyatt for LVN, Carl Brooks, Quay Walker, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Nate Hobbs, and maybe Brenton Cox and Marshawn Lloyd, I'd say, yes, I'll take that deal all day, every day. So I do think there's a lot of players coming back that are going to help this team in a variety of different ways, but there's no question about it. Losing Wyatt sucks, and guys like Brinson, Stackhouse, Brooks and Wooden are going to have to step up even more.
We do not acknowledge that running back on this show until he plays a complete game and stays healthy. We don't say his name. We don't acknowledge he's on the roster. So I'll just move past that. Brenton Cox, I would love to see him back. Yes, I'm all in on that, Andy Herman. Let's also talk about this aggressiveness that we saw from Matt LaFleur and this Packers offense. The fourth down thing, it is what it is. Fine. I don't want to harp on that. What I do want to harp on a little bit here, and I said it on post-game show last night, I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Everybody was excited about, oh man, finally, here we go. This is going to be like the back half of 23. Now he's going to let him wing it, and we're rolling. And they said it on the broadcast. Brady said it, that coming into this week, they know that they stacked the box more than anybody else in the league to play the run. That's how Detroit plays their defense, and that they were going to try and take advantage of that and throw. But realistically, at the end of the day, I really do not think this offense is going to be like this week against the Bears or against probably many other teams the rest of the season. I think in Matt LaFleur's perfect world, they do it how they've been doing it, not the way that they just did it, Andy.
Yeah, I just think where Matt is usually going to come down on this is what is the opposing defense taking away? What are they allowing? Every defense has a weakness and every defense has a strength, right? So against Detroit, where again, they're maybe stacking the box a little bit more, playing more single high safety, you're going to get a lot of opportunities to throw the ball around the yard and you're going to put it a little bit more in Jordan's hands. And that's the way that they played that game because that's what Detroit sort of dictated to them. In other games where they've played a ton of soft zones and kept their two safeties high and are really stretched out both horizontally and vertically, and you've got opportunities to run the football and teams are saying, hey, we dare you to run the football. Matt's going to look at that and say, we need to be able to run the football. I think where maybe the disconnect is that at some point in time, I get you are looking at some disadvantageous passing situations based on how teams are playing you, but in general, if you can't run the football, even though it looks advantageous, it is maybe a disadvantageous situation to run the football as well. I was buoyed a little bit by the fact that I thought Green Bay was efficient running the football yesterday for the most part. It wasn't perfect by any stretch.
Jacobs looked
good. Explosives. We saw some efficient running. You know, Wilson looked good the week before. If that can get going to that level, it doesn't have to be perfect. Think back to 2010, James Starks and John Kuhn in that running game, not perfect, right? But they got the job done more often than not. And then Aaron was able to kind of take the rest from there. If they can just give that much of a rushing attack from here on out, that's going to be enough of a rushing attack to get Jordan the passing opportunities that he needs. And if Jordan can play like he did yesterday, they can certainly beat anybody.
Since you brought up John Kuhn, and you can hear weekdays, 9 to noon with John Kuhn from, obviously, 9 a.m. to noon. He put on his Twitter account yesterday that he thought that the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFC right now. I'm not there. We'll talk more about it at 3 o'clock. I'm not there with John Kuhn on this one. Where are you?
Yeah, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL, much less the NFC. I think it's a stacked NFC. I think Philly has flaws. We're seeing that right now. Bears currently up 7-0 in this game.
I know. Charlie was doing a shimmy shake over there when they scored. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands go up and he's like shimmy shaking and smiling. And I figured that happened, Andy Herman. I figured that. Yes, but go ahead.
So I do know that obviously Philly beat Green Bay in Green Bay. If people want to argue Philly's better, that's fine too. But to me, the Rams are fantastic. I think the NFC is really good. I think Seattle's tough. I think San Fran is tough. I think Chicago, Detroit are tough. I think it's a really tough NFC right now, but I would probably lean towards the Rams being one, and then you get into a conversation of Philly and probably Green Bay after that.
He is Andy Herman. He's awesome. Pack a Day podcast. Check it out. Follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Andy Herman NFL. What's the plans for the rest of the day? Are you going shopping or what are you doing?
Kiddo's got soccer practice. We got some friends coming over later. I'm going to do some grading tonight, do the podcast for tomorrow, and then we've got a big, huge soccer tournament tomorrow.
No, you don't.
With like 7 games tomorrow.
Is that going to happen? Are you guys north of the storm that's coming in?
We're supposed to get like 1 to 3, maybe 3 to 4.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be okay. But I see what you guys are supposed to get. It might be a little bit. And if it shifts a little bit, then maybe we will not.
Yeah, we're at around 10 inches, it looks like right now. But again, Duluth Superior earlier this week was forecasting like somewhere around 19 inches. So I still feel fortunate that I'm not in Duluth Superior getting hammered like they did earlier in the week. But it's still going to suck either way. Andy Herman, thank you so much, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, you as well. Appreciate you.
Take care. There he is, Andy Herman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.